And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, yeah, I did this. Isn't it terrific? Ain't I awesome? You should appreciate me. Boy, you sure are lucky to have me as a grandpa, grandma, father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, co-worker, fellow churchgoer, or just a friend. Hey, watch this. Open up mouth, insert stupid pills. Okay, next. Okay, now that we got that silly human pride out of the picture, let us talk about authentic Christianity. The practical side of faith puts us in a unique partnership with God. Is there a challenge before us? Then we need to take up the two principles that enable us to do it without anxiety. And that would be humility and surrender. And finally, one of our favorite people called up with a question, which was answered briefly, but she deserves more attention. We ask how we reconcile that Jesus fulfilled the law, but that he did not abolish it. How does that work? We examine theology and reality and how they work together.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's a way to get a hold of us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I will tell you that my phone is acting up, so I have to push the button. I have to push it to refresh every couple of seconds. So just be patient. Also, you can call us. Now, the easiest way to get a hold of us, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And you'll get to talk to amazing Jennifer.
That's me.
That's you.
That's me.
And you know what? When they talk to you, it's amazing.
Whoa. Hence the nickname.
You know what's good is that we don't have the little Debbie Downer thing to go.
I do. Would you like me to play it?
Yeah, go ahead, play it. Let's see. There you go. We spare no expense at sound effects.
No, we don't. No.
We don't have an expense. We do have an internet. Okay, so here's the bottom line. You can have a praise report, a prayer request, something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life. You can have a question. We'll do our best to answer it. If it's more complex, we'll answer it in depth later on. We'll give you kind of an initial answer, unless you're asking 2 + 2, and that answer obviously is 5. So we'll keep it as simple as we can. We do have our next trivia question, not complex, because normally our trivia question for the first segment in the second 60 minutes is easy. Who had a spear with the iron head weighing 600 shekels? Dun, dun, dun. Who had the spear with an iron head weighing 600 shekels? If you think you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770, and you can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org, which we're going to play real quickly just to remind you, the place to touch base and also a place to give, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He must increase ministry. You too. He must increase ministry. Thank you. You're doing so excellent. You're just such a pro.
And
so,
I was dancing to that too.
Were you really?
Yes.
Where's my camera?
Here's the other thing. Just keep in mind, it's not professional radio. I think we've just, I don't know how you could demonstrate it any more than we have demonstrated it. It is not professional radio. No, it is not. You can just think of us as a kind of a blend between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. So that's a pretty straightforward question. It's not as complex as you might think it is. Who had the spear with an iron head weighing 600 shekels? For those that do not know, your answer is going to be found in 1 Samuel 17. Ooh, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about this one initial piece because this piece rolls into the next piece, which rolls into the next piece, which is kind of how sometimes things come about if you follow my meaning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Ready? All right, here we go. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Whoa. So that no man may boast before God. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. And the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. I'm going to be super nice and include all of us together in this so that this is not a specifically targeted insult. This is general in mass. The base things that Paul is talking about is you and me. This can't make it any simpler. I know. Oh, no, I am special. Uh-huh. So you do recognize that from a chemical dollar point of view, I'm not talking about any black market harvesting. I'm just talking about your straight chemical body point of view. You're not worth a lot. You know that, right? Just saying. So my point in telling you that is we are the base things, and God uses imperfect vessels. One of my favorite fills that we do is the James Robeson one where he says God uses imperfect vessels. He always has. He always will. That is correct. God has used imperfect people. God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. So he just kind of set the tone. And you've heard me say that 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. Why? So that nobody will boast before God. Here's the great irony of man boasting. Where did you get the oxygen that filled your lungs in the first place? Oh, you mean you didn't create your own oxygen? Huh. Who gave you that? Who gave you that formation? Who gave you that body? Better yet, and I like that joke we talk about with the scientists where it's like, you know, I can make a man too. Okay, all right, give me some dirt. And God says, get your own dirt. It's like, yeah. In other words, this is all because of him. And God is chosen. It does seem like God chooses really unique vessels. He's chosen the things that are not. He's chosen things that he may nullify the things that are. In other words, he uses us goofy people so that the people that are super duper arrogant, inflated, get a handle on, they ain't that special. And that apart from God, there's nothing. There, nobody has any goodness. In fact, David said in the Psalms, in the King James Version, "My goodness extendeth not beyond thee," which is his way of saying, "I don't have anything good that comes outside of you. You're it. You're where everything happens." Now, what's cool about the Lord is he uses really different kinds of vessels, like you and me, to accomplish his tasks so that we know as the vessel and the person receiving any blessing can also know this is all because of God. I cannot stress to you enough how I should not be in this chair right now in my own workings and doings, how on more than three occasions, I've had a gun pointed to my head, fully loaded, ready to go, to blow my brains out. Yep, here I am. Why? Because God is amazing, and he stops things or coordinates things so that they don't happen the way that our dumbness would like try and make it happen. And the reason that this all takes place is basically so you can get a handle on and I can get a handle on, and I need this handle, that there is only one superstar, that this whole thing is pointing to Jesus, that every time a pastor takes a bow, he's denying the claim that Jesus is the chief shepherd. Now, in the scripture, it says Jesus is the chief shepherd. So at best, that makes everybody else a sub-shepherd. I mean, that's at the best. And it's within the scriptures Jesus said, even if you've done everything you're supposed to do, say we are unfaithful, unworthy, unfaithful servants. And you think, well, why is that? Because in reality, you can't do these things without the help of God, which is my argument, as you have heard me say before, against both political sides. The one side saying, oh, the government helped you do this. You couldn't do it without the government. And then the other group is, they didn't help us do it. We did this by our own sweat and blood. And it's like, both of you are wrong. God was the one who helped us. And without God, doesn't happen. And see, what everybody's trying to give credit in different places, and it's like, there's only one place that the credit is right. And that is before the Lord. And so that humbleness, that necessity, which will lead into our next teaching, is critical that we reflect Jesus's humility, but understand that it all flows through him. So every good thing we have, do, say, exist in, is a gift from God. And we should just say, thank you, and that'd be good enough. By the way, the answer to the trivia question, who had a spear with an iron head weighing 600 shekels, would be Mr. Goliath. Mr. Goliath. That's what we'll call him. That's what Eric called him. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. I hope you guys are ready for the next trivia question. You have an opportunity to either email, text, or call in. Who said foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests? Who said foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, I hold in my hand what is sure to be not the funniest jokes we have ever told. Is that a great way to say that? It's just not. It's not that they're bad, but you know when they're decent but not great? That's what you got. So this will be decent joke time. That's what I'm renaming it. Okay. And you got to follow along. These are very similar to some of the other ones, so just be aware of that. Which book of the major prophets is the easiest to understand? Which book of the major prophets is the easiest to understand? Ready? Ready? This is a good one. It's not bad. Ezekiel. Okay. Okay, fine. Which minor prophet is well known thanks to his cookies? Famous Amos. Amos?
You're killing me, Small.
I'm trying. What would you call a prophet who's also a chef? Which prophet was that? That would be Habakkuk. Cook. See, because he cooked. Habakkuk.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
That's a funny play right there. What did Adam say to Eve when handing her something to wear? Take it or leave it. Take it. That's all right. Okay, here we go. For those that know this story well, you'll really appreciate this. What did Zachariah do when he and Elizabeth had disagreements? He gave her the silent treatment. See, because he couldn't talk. Because, here's the last one. What did the lawyer ask when someone started talking about God's will? What did the lawyer ask when somebody started talking about God's will? He asked, was it notarized? Let's see, there you go. Okay. This is what I'm doing with these jokes. Ready? Is that good?
Good, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Here, one more rip. Okay, there you go. Okay. All right, trivia question. Hey, you think it's easy to find a lot of jokes? It's not that hard. It's not that easy. It's not that hard. Trivia question. Who said foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests? If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483 or you can call in 972-445-0770. If you thought those jokes were bad today, wait until tomorrow. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim and there are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord promised. Now this is Caleb. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, Because you heard then that the Anakim are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, as the Lord promised. So most people know the story about the spies. There were 10 spies that did bad and 2 spies that did good. The 12 spies that Moses sent out. There was Joshua and Caleb that did good. They gave a good report. There was the 12 tribes that gave a bad report. So you got 10 guys saying bad things about the land and the promises that God has given, and 2 guys that are seeing it all through faith and saying, we can do this. This is before us. The Lord has given us this capacity. So in that process, God rewarded Caleb, and obviously he rewarded Joshua because Joshua was the one who took over for Moses. And the people that were the bad spies, that didn't go that great for them. That's what happens when you slander the land of the Lord, but that's a whole separate issue. Here is what is amazing. Here's a guy, Caleb, who knows God is with him, knows he's strong, he has capacity, he has the ability to do this, but he opens up with humility and says, perhaps. It's not that Caleb didn't have the faith or even confidence, but before he displayed his, you know, his man faith or his woman confidence, he humbled himself before the God of the universe. And if you and I are looking for successful journeying in the kingdom of God, you and I would be hard-pressed to come up with a better entry point than humility. Because when you're humble, it's not that you become weak. That's the wrong way to think of humility. When you're humble, you are surrendered. And in this case, we're talking about humility before God, who at that point fights for you and with you. God gives, he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He fights against people that are full of pride, but he fights for people that have humility, a recognition of their actual standing. If that person was standing before the King of the universe, what would your actual standing, your actual position be? And that would be one of surrender as you lie on the floor in humility. And so he talks about this in those humble terms, and then he says this, perhaps the Lord will be with me. So in his humility, he's in search for a partnership with God, okay? Now, we have somebody who's answering on the trivia, and we're going to get to them in a second. But what I want you to be aware of is this attitude that Caleb has in saying, you know, perhaps in my humility before the king, and I've seen him do all, but in my surrenderedness, perhaps if the Lord is with me, if he'll partner with me, then I will. You see how that works? If humbly before the Lord, if the Lord is with me in this, he's going to partner with me, then I will. Because if God's going to be my partner, it's over. I mean, you and God is a majority. So if I humble myself, surrender it to the Lord, and know he's with me, then I will. You see how that works? That's a nice little formula, but it's right there in the text. All right, we do have somebody who's calling in, answering the trivia. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. It's Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Tired today, but I'm okay.
All right. At least you didn't call me. You didn't call me Mary today. That's good.
Oh dear.
That's funny. Okay, Mary, we got our trivia question.
Anyway.
So who said foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests? Who said that?
Jesus Christ said that, and he also said, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head.
That is correct, Amanda! You're right. Excellent job, Mary. That's an excellent job. I knew that you were going to, I just had this feeling you were going to call in and nail that one. So that was a really good job. Can people be praying for you just for you to be strengthened and feel better?
Oh, yeah, that I would appreciate that.
Okay, everybody.
I'm going to have surgery, supposed to, anyway, have surgery at the end of this month.
Okay, at the end of this month, you got to have surgery? So we need to be praying
about that, too.
You got it.
If you like.
We will. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the audience to pray, and the next time you call in, I'll give you a chance to talk a little bit more about it, and then we'll make sure everybody's praying for you throughout the month, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
You are more than welcome, Mary. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Now,
bye-bye.
But the Lord does bless me every day. So, yeah, he blesses me every day. All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Mary. Okay, she's the greatest. Okay, so, all right, so everybody, you need to just put this on you. Just remember what I told you before. You know, you're trying to figure out, well, who's my neighbor? Anybody God brings into your universe is your neighbor, just in case you're trying to figure that out. Mary's in your universe because you're listening. You should be praying for her, okay? All right. And she got the answer right. The answer was Jesus. So did everybody else who texted in. Great job, everybody. Let me finish off this point, and then we'll take our break. So Caleb said perhaps. He wasn't being a doubter. He was having humility before the Lord. Like when Jesus surrendered himself in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, this doesn't seem great. It's not like Jesus went, oh boy, I get to be crucified. It's like, he's like, yeah, if it can pass, that'd be cool. But not mine, but your will be done. That's that humility surrender we're talking about. And then Caleb goes, if the Lord is with me, okay, if he's going to be my partner, then I'm going to accomplish this and it's going to get done. And then the last thing I want to say about that is for some of you, and I'm just going to say it in a nice way, but not trying, no prophetic word or anything coming, just an encouragement. Some of you, you need to be willing to take a shot. You need to be willing to risk a little. Risk is another way to say you need to have faith. And maybe every once in a while, put your foot outside of the boat and try and walk on water. You'd be amazed the things that God provides and does for us when we're willing to stand in that faith. So have humility, surrender, be in partnership with God, take a shot. Okay? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody, look, I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. When you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." There's a whole teaching on it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people.
believers, good believers, great believers, fantastic believers, lousy believers, and everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. That doesn't. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here comes our next trivia question. Little tougher. You're going to need to know your Old Testament books, or at least know where your books are listed. What book comes after the book of Obadiah? Some of you are going, okay, I'm driving. I can't figure that out. I understand. But if you remember what book comes after Obadiah, and then you hear it on this show, and you're thinking, what book comes after Obadiah in the future, you'll go, aha, aha. But it's okay to look. I just don't want you to Google it if you have access to some kind of Bible. Okay, that's fair enough. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. So you got the ability to text, or you can call in, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In fact, I do want to do the replay on the website just to remind people to check out. It's a good place to give, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so our trivia question, what book comes after Obadiah? Keep in mind, Obadiah is a minor prophet, so it is most likely that another minor prophet is going to follow him. Does that help? That's nice. I can't give you more than that because then I'm just giving it away. It's just not fun. Let's do our history, and then I'm going to have to set up our explanation of our third segment, so you're going to need to be patient. I need everybody to be patient, but let's do history first, and then we'll get to it. Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past. All right. Now, any of these I share, amazing, Jennifer. If you like any of them in particular, you can just let me know. And if you don't, you don't have to say anything, or you can buzz them or whatever.
Okay.
Today is chocolate day.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how you could go wrong. How can you go wrong with chocolate day?
You can't.
I mean, it's chocolate anything. Like, okay.
I will be sure to celebrate.
Okay, chocolate day. It's Global Forgiveness Day. I think that sounds great. I just don't know what it means, because global forgiveness versus just forgiveness day concerns me that it's more environmental than it is anything else.
But can you forgive yourself for eating too much chocolate?
I think that there's just not a sin in eating too much chocolate. Okay. Here's what I really think is happening. When we go to heaven, remember, eye is not seen, neither is ear heard, neither is entered into the hearts of men the things God has prepared. So I can't even imagine how great heaven will be. So Planet Chocolate is on my list.
There, I like that.
Yes. Planet Chocolate, the whole planet. It's also National Macaroni Day.
These are good.
Yeah, it's not as good as chocolate, but I mean, you get some. And then it's To Tell the Truth Day. The thing they didn't have listed was there's also a To Tell a Lie Day. It's like To Tell the Truth Day. It's like, okay. Tell the truth. And you always wonder when people go, to tell the truth, you love that line, but were you going to lie?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's funny. 1863, United States begins its first draft for the military. 1898, Hawaii is annexation of the island territory, is a joint congressional resolution to do that. 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor is nominated to the Supreme Court. And then in 1982, Steve Scott runs the mile in a record 3.47.69. I can barely drive the mile.
Right.
3 points. Yeah. It's like, I don't even know what they're talking about. All right, here's our last opportunity for the trivia question, and then I got to explain something that's going on. Okay? All right. The trivia question was, what book comes after Obadiah in the Old Testament? Just do your best. 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Good to see Aunt Deb join us. Love Aunt Deb. She's fantastic. She's one of our big supporters. And she's just the one who prays for us every day. So she's a part of our deep, deep team. That's me and Noelle and Aunt Deb. It's pretty deep. Okay. Okay. I'm setting this up on purpose to give you what I call the need for radio patience. Okay, I cannot say this any different. So one of our favorite callers, Deborah, called and asked a question about Jesus fulfilling the law and not abolishing it and so on and so forth. And so I gave her an initial answer, and the initial answer is correct. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. The law is actually broken down into three components. It's broken down into civil law, moral law, and ceremonial law. Okay, that is the reality. Moral law, as you can tell, didn't change between the Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, it got more intense because back in the day, if you murdered somebody, there would be a penalty. Now Jesus is saying if you're angry enough inside you to murder somebody, you're guilty of the murder. So that just only got worse. The ceremonial law was the law that Jesus fulfilled in all of its complications and all of its processes. And then the civil law changes from a cultural point of view. In the Old Testament, if you worked on the Sabbath, you would get, you know, severely wounded. The New Testament, the culture and the change of the church has not created that same civil law approach. Also, the civil law has to do with civility. And so that changes as society changes. But what I wanted to do was offer Deborah a deeper explanation. And so the information I got from this comes from an excellent source. And I encourage you guys to use as many. If you ever want to know what sources I've got, I gladly share everything and anything. You never want to keep anything hidden. So I have about 1,800 books in my digital library and about 1,200 books in my house. Plus another maybe 500 here or there or whatever. Plus, I also use several websites to help me, and I use all of that, believe it or not. I actually have a program that enables me to look at a commentary on one passage that enables me to look at about 15 different commentaries in 3 minutes, which is like, you know, how great is that, right? That's fantastic, right? This comes from a website called Got Questions. Many of you should know this website. If you don't, it's called gotquestions.org. It is more conservative. It is more geared towards the Baptist theology, but there is nothing wrong with it. And I have not only been blessed by this website, I've contributed to it because I think it's worthwhile. So I'm going to read that from this the best I can. So Deborah, I hope you're listening. If not, it's on record. All right, what does it mean that Jesus fulfilled the law but did not abolish it? Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." This is the website now. This important statement of our Lord gives us insight into his mission and the character of God's word. Jesus goes out of his way to promote the authority of the law of God. He did not come to abolish the law, regardless of what the Pharisees accused him of. In fact, Jesus continues his statement with a commendation for those who teach the law accurately and hold it in reverence. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Note the qualities that Jesus attributes to the word of God, referenced as the law and the prophets. The word is everlasting. It will outlast the natural world. The word was written with intent. It was meant to be fulfilled. The word processes or possesses plenary authority so that even the smallest letter of it is established, and the word is faithful and trustworthy. Now, next, consider what Jesus did do. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. In other words, Jesus' purpose was to establish the word, to embody it, and to fully accomplish all that was written. Christ is the culmination of the law. That's Romans 10:4. The predictions of the prophets concerning the Messiah would be realized in Jesus. The holy standard of law would be perfectly upheld by Christ, the strict requirements personally obeyed, and the ceremonial observations finally and fully satisfied. So in other words, what they were trying to do through the law for people, nobody did. But Jesus came and did it all, and did it all perfectly. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophets in that. In his first coming alone, he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies concerning himself. Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. In fact, the ceremonies, sacrifices, and other elements of the old covenant were a shadow of the things to come, but not the reality in themselves. We get that from Hebrews 10:1. The tabernacle and temple were holy places made with hands, but they never meant to be permanent. They were copies of the true things. The law is still binding in a sense today. If the law is still binding in that same sense, then Jesus did not accomplish his purpose. So in other words, because Jesus fulfilled the law and didn't abolish it, he accomplished the law. You cannot do what Jesus did. You can only receive the righteousness that Jesus exhibited, which is fulfilling the law perfectly. So he didn't destroy it. He completed it. And a great way to think of this is Jesus took care of all the things in the law so that you and I are not bound by the law because the law had been fulfilled. We now walk in the newness of life, which is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The key in all of this, which will absolutely blow your mind, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, ironically, I just realized, is that the way that you and I go about fulfilling the law without needing to fulfill the law is that we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit now. And the Holy Spirit guides us into the right actions, the right words, the right activities. What they didn't have in the Old Testament, the outpouring of the Spirit, we have in the New Testament because of Jesus Christ. And that Holy Spirit, God Himself, inside of us, enables us to live in a way that is pleasing before the Lord and is higher than the law that man can function in. Jesus fulfilled it. He didn't kill it. But he made it complete by what he did and by how he sacrificed. Okay? All right. That's that. I hope that helps, Deborah. If not, I'll be glad to talk to you about it in more depth later. We got a real simple one on the backside coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this, sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. Oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. It's like, that's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I forgot to give you the answer on the trivia. And all those people send all those texts in. I'm so sorry. And then I forgot to tell you what the answer was. Wasn't that nice of me? Sure. That was really nice of you, Dave. What book comes after the book of Obadiah? The answer would be Jonah. Jonah was the book that came after. So anytime anybody asks you in the future, what book comes after Obadiah? You'll go Jonah, the one where he ran away, that fish one, the one that he got spitted out, the one that he thought he was going to get a big triumphant reception when he just did what God told him to do, and the one that whined about the people repenting. Yeah, that guy. Anyway, that's the one that comes after Obadiah. See, Obadiah, Jonah. Okay? Now that I've messed that up thoroughly, I'll give you the next one. All right. How many people believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? Okay. How many people believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? Your answer, for those that are not sure, is going to be in Acts chapter 4. Just got to read the first so many verses, and you'll get that answer. How many people believed in Jesus after Peter preached that second time? Okay, that's your question, and you can call in 972-445-0770 to answer live on the air, or you can text in 214-210-8483. It is a fact that my phone is kind of bopping in and out. It's going da-da-da, so I'm going to have to do another reinstall when I get home, but it's working good enough where most people I'm getting in touch with you. But if you don't get a text from me today, it's not that I don't love you, okay? It's that Dave's phone is like going, I don't get it. Okay, there you go. It's like Bert, the dog, my puppy dog. So I don't get it. Okay, Bert, do this. I don't get it. Okay, Bert, do this. Huh? Okay. That's the story of my life. once I let that dog roam around the living room. I don't get it. Bert, okay. And the other thing I don't like that he does, that we had a serious talk about him, is he puts his paws on my computer. Just like, that is not good. All right, let's review the word. We're going to do a Greek word today out of the New Testament. That's why it's Greek. The Old Testament is Hebrew. Let's go ahead and play our Greek music. Baklava. Okay, here we go. Here's our portion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. The word desire is zelou in the Greek. Zelou. Could be zelou, but zelou is really what it is. Zelou. That means to be zealous for, to burn for desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intensely, where we would get the word zealous, zelou, desire. Zelou, Greek word zelou, means desire. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Burn with the desire. Pursue ardently. Desire eagerly or intensely. Okay? All right. There's your lesson. Some of you are much smarter for it. Some of you, maybe not so much. okay.
How many people believed in Christ after Peter's second sermon? Your answer is in Acts chapter 4. Hang on a second while I take a drink of my tea. Oh, you thought I was kidding, huh? Okay. Just remember, I am the guy that on air live gargled. I feel all people should know all things like that. Joshua chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. But the descendants of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who inhabited the valley area have iron chariots, both at Beth Shean and Jezreel Valley." So Joshua replied to Joseph's family, says, "You have many people and great strength. You have not just one lot, because the hill country will also be yours. It's a forest. Clear it, and the outlying areas will be yours. You can drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong." Okay? We're going to have the person respond to the trivia, maybe. I think so. And then I'm going to follow up on what this whole thing is with Joshua. I just want you to be aware of what's going on so that you can kind of connect to it. Is that a no-go pizza?
Well, it was Deborah, and she just wanted to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Did she want to thank me?
Thank you, she says.
Okay. Okay, that was a good one.
Did you get that?
Yeah, okay. I did.
Okay.
You're welcome, Deborah. We love you. Okay. All right, so let's go back to this, and then just remind me, amazing, if I forget to do the trivia, because I will just sit there and bang my head against the wall all evening long, so I don't want that to happen. Okay, do you ever feel like you need more? I think a lot of us feel that way. We need more. There's more. I need more this. We need more this. There was a fear that the descendants of Joseph had primarily because they were facing iron chariots, and they were concerned. And so this is what happened, and this is the concern that I have for all of us in the faith. I know it sounds bizarre, but it's really important. And that is, fear stopped the descendants of Joseph from moving forward and grabbing hold of the promise that God had. So in connection with what we just talked about, and that is having Caleb's attitude where he says, perhaps, having a humble attitude and a surrendered attitude, and he says, you know, in with the Lord, in this partnership with God, then I can or I will. Pulling that together forward, when you make a decision to take a step forward in faith, when you give something a shot, when you step out of the boat like Peter did, when you put your leg over the boat and you try to walk on water and you know it's a step of faith, don't be surprised if the challenge coming from the enemy and coming from the world and coming from yourself is fear. Because that's the big combatant against faith. Faith is something that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is the vehicle that God has chosen. Fear dilutes faith. If you think of faith as something that's pure, and you think you know, like water, and then you think of fear as like an oil, you don't want to have oil in the water kind of mentality. You want the water to be pure. And so one of the concerns in moving forward, taking a step, being willing to try, being willing to be risking, understanding that faith is also spelled R-I-S-K, is to understand that fear is going to be thrown as an attempt to stop you from moving forward. Don't ever think that you're going to advance in the kingdom of God and Satan's just going to sit there and go, ho-hum, I've got nothing else to do. I'll just sit here and watch TV. Okay? He doesn't exist for that. He exists at this point, can't even get out of it, to be used by God in order for God to demonstrate his power over evil. And you can't escape that. And so sometimes you will come across something like iron chariots, like the descendants of Joseph did. And then Joshua says to them, hey, you know what? Push through. Yeah, I know you're afraid. And I'm not even sure that Joshua blamed them because of the way he says it. You can also drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong. Yeah, they do have that. But you know what? Go for it. Go forward. Be strong. Push through. Now, do you do that because you think I'm gonna go buy $1 million in lottery tickets because I'm gonna push strong and be forward? And, oh my goodness, I'm not even commenting. Okay, you do this in the things of the kingdom of God, you have this recognition that you're going to move forward, fear's going to be tossed at you, and you should be prepared to push past it. You can be strong. You want to know why you can be strong? Because the Lord loves you and is with you. And if you're doing anything for his glory, for his kingdom, and it's genuine, it's authentic, then you can count on the partnership with God. Yes, you have to have a humble spirit, and you have to have a understanding that this is a partnership, but understanding that you partner with God and that you work together with God in something should teach us, should make it plain to us that we will prevail because of him. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And you guys know it's true. And then when it's a kingdom issue or a kingdom principle, when this has to do with the sovereign reign of God and you're working in partnership with God, you're going to prevail. If you don't give way to fear, you move forward, you press towards the promise or what's set before you, you push through and you be strong. And you do that, ironically, by depending on the Lord. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Christianity is just, I don't care what anybody says, it's so bizarre. You, in order to live, you die. In order to receive, you give. In order to see, you believe. I mean, it's just everything the opposite. Period. It's opposite world. It's the Superman comic book. Opposite world. Bizarro world. That's what it is. Because God does things different than man. Okay? All right. All right. What's our trivia question? The second sermon. How many people believed in Christ after Peter preached his second sermon? The answer is in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, about 5,000. Okay? And when it says about 5,000 men, taking into account that most of those men would have been married, most likely with children, you're probably looking at somewhere between 12 and 15. Same thing on the feeding when there was the 5,000 that was feeding. So it's probably about closer to 12 to 15 kind of range. But that's how many people got saved. And again, can you imagine being a young church and it's like we're 120 people and after the second sermon there's 5,000 people added. Boy, logistical nightmare? Oh my goodness. Only God can make it work from there. That's all I got for you. All right, folks, I want you to be strong in the Lord, but be humble in that strength because you're depending on him. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. Spoonanity Insanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.